The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that the manager was squandering his property. So the rich man summoned him and said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes. So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. The Gospel of the Lord. So I started a series of homilies last week, but I did it for the 11 a.m. Mass. So every other Saturday I'll be doing the 5 p.m. Mass. So you'll get the second, the fourth, and the sixth of the homily series. If you want to know more, I could always print you out a copy of the other homilies. And this series of homilies is about the Eucharist. The Eucharist being a very important, the center part of our worship of God, because the Eucharist is our Lord Jesus Christ. True, his body, blood, soul, and divinity is truly present. And in that homily I said last week, which some of you may not have heard because you didn't go to that Mass, I said I was explaining the different teachings of the faith. And one thing I said was that our Lord is truly, really, and substantially present. And some of you may have heard this before. And you might have heard it because this is what the Church teaches. It's been defined, it's in the Catechism, it's been defined by the Church. And I'm sure if you were like me, when you hear truly, really, substantially, you'd say, that's a tautology. You're just saying the same thing over and over again. What's the difference between truly, really, substantially? It's the same thing. And you wouldn't be wrong. When we say truly, really, substantially present, we're saying Christ is here, Christ is here, Christ is here. But we say it with a different meaning each time. And what does that mean? So what does it mean to say he's truly present? We say truly present to say that is opposed to falsity and lies. The church uses the word truly to repudiate the belief that the sacrament is a mere sign or figure. Some people say Christ is imagined, this symbolizes Christ. This is a symbol of his body. It's not really, it's just a piece of bread. That's what some people say. But the church says our Lord is truly present. It's not a sign, it's not a figure. He is truly here. When we say our Lord is really present, the word really comes from the word which is real, what is in reality. And so when we say our Lord is really present, we are saying he is not imaginary, he is not fantastical, he's not virtually present, but he is actually in reality here present. So it's not a virtual, it's not imaginary, it's not because you think he's there that he's there. He's there because he is real. In reality, he is there present. And so this goes, the two words go with this, with reality. That's ontological and objective. And these are just philosophical words. Ontological means he is present because of his being. His being is here. And objective means that it doesn't matter, make a difference what I believe, he's here nonetheless. It doesn't make a difference what you believe, he is here nonetheless. In fact, with each of these homilies, there's a story which goes with it, historical story. And you'll find that in many of these stories, in many of these events, the priest doubts our Lord's presence. And in each of these stories, our Lord shows himself to be present, a Eucharistic miracle. So whether the priest doubts or not, does not change the reality, and we'll see in today's story of this. We also say the word, our Lord is substantially present. What does substantially mean? The word substantially means, from the Latin sub, which means under, and stare, which stays. So what does that mean? The substance is what remains. No matter how things change, the substance remains the same. Imagine I were to show you a picture, a baby picture of myself. I was a tiny little boy, a little bit of hair. Though I am now a 6'2" man, I am the same person. I might have been small. I might have changed my skin. All the cells would have changed. My blood, all the cells of my body would have renewed. And yet, I'm not a different person from when I was little, as I'm sure you remember that you don't change, though you grow. Substance is that which remains, the you. Imagine I was in a terrible fire accident, as I know one of a seminarian who was caught in a fireball and his face was all burnt. All because he looks different, he did not become a different person, because he is who he is, no matter how he appears. So when we say our Lord is substantially present, is to say no matter how he appears, he is there, hidden, underneath whatever the sacramental veil. And so that brings me to the story of Padre Pietro, Father Peter. And this story dates back to the 12th century. So on Easter Sunday, on the 28th of March in 1171, God blessed his church with another Eucharistic miracle in the town of Ferrara, Italy, where Father Pietro di Verona was celebrating Easter Mass. At a moment when the consecrated host was broken into two parts, and the priest breaks the host, all presents were startled as a stream of blood burst from the host. There was such quantity of blood, and its movement was so violent that it stained the ceiling, which stood slightly behind and above the altar. So the blood shot up and covered the ceiling and also the wall. because back then they celebrated facing towards towards God. And the host itself became visible flesh. At such a wonder, the word of the miracle spread quickly and brought two bishops rushing to the scene. They were in agreement that the blood was the real miraculous blood of our Lord. This miracle brought a number of bishops, cardinals, and popes to see the wonder God had worked. The church was enlarged and made into a basilica. The altar with the blood stain, ceiling was moved to a chapel. To this day, you may go and see the place of the miracle. You may see the altar, which is still stained with blood, and you'll also see the ceiling, which is no longer on the ceiling. They put it on the wall. And you could climb up behind the altar. So you have the altar, and then you climb up some stairs, and then you walk up behind the altar, and you get to see the blood-stained wall from close up. You can see the altar and this miracle at the ceiling, which is placed on the wall, and reverently inspect from close up, as I explained to you. How we treat the Blessed Sacrament is how we are treating God. How we receive the Blessed Sacrament is how we receive God. We must try to receive Him into pure hearts, hearts made pure in confession, when we confess our sins and are washed from our sins. In loving hearts, hearts which reject sin, or at least hearts which are trying to reject sin. We are weak and we are sinners. We must always be trying to reject sin. We must receive Him into hearts which love Him and adore Him. With the greatest reverence and the greatest respect and love, we ought to approach the Blessed Sacrament and attend Mass in likewise. You come to Mass not for fun. You're not here because you enjoy it, I'm sure. You're here to be, you're not here to hear the priest, whether I'm here or another priest or the priest before. You're not here to hear us. You're here for Him, to adore Him, to love Him, to be with Him. May we always receive our Lord with greatest respect. In last week's homily, I told you, I told the 11 o'clock parishioners about the miracle in Langchano, and this was a priest who doubted the presence of our Lord. And as he doubted again, when he broke the host, it turned into flesh and blood poured forth. Also, the blood in the chalice turned to visible blood. If you want to know about it, if you look up Langchano, the Eucharistic miracle of Langchano, you'll see this beautiful monstrance in which is held today. This is a miracle which happened in the 9th century. It's in a beautiful monstrance where the body of Christ, which turned into visible flesh, is held in the monstrance, and the blood in a glass chalice underneath. Our Lord is here present, truly, really, substantially. Let us make that act of faith and receive Him with loving hearts and with great reverence. May the Blessed Virgin Mary pray for us and intercede on our behalf to obtain for us a great love for our Lord, who wishes to be here with us and wishes to sanctify us and bring us to heaven. May the Blessed Virgin Mary guide us towards her Son and towards heaven. Mary, conceived without the stain of sin, pray for us who recourse unto thee.